prospects for the peace process underway in Liberia are said to hinge to a large degree on whether President Charles Taylor will agree to relinquish power. But it appears unlikely he will do so willingly, even though discontent and pressure on his presidency is mounting. Under the ceasefire agreement signed Tuesday by envoys for two rebel groups and the Liberian government, peace negotiations are to take place to establish a transitional government without Mr. Taylor. The rebels already accused government forces of violating the ceasefire on several remote fronts, but Defense Minister Daniel Che says patience is needed before the truce takes full effect. Rebels warn they will resume fighting if Mr. Taylor refuses to step down. Early indications are that Mr. Taylor intends to remain in power. The presidential spokesman has said only the ceasefire is binding. He has also said the peace process must include Mr. Taylor to succeed. Last week, on a visit to his private farm outside Monrovia, accompanied by militia fighters, Mr. Taylor had a similar message, speaking of himself in the third person.
What the international community needs, and what Liberians want, and the West African sub-region, is peace and stability. Charles Taylor sees himself as a valuable part of the process.
Complicating matters for Mr. Taylor is a U.S. and European-backed indictment for war crimes by a court in Sierra Leone, where he is accused of supporting rebels who are notorious for maiming their victims. A court official read the charges against Mr. Taylor on the day of his indictment, June 4th.
His indictment accuses him of bearing the greatest responsibility for war crimes, crimes against humanity, and serious violations of international humanitarian law within the territory of Sierra Leone since 30 November 1996.
Mr. Taylor has vowed Liberia's peace process will fail unless the indictment is lifted.
It's a political decision. They made it. Washington was consulted. London was consulted. They did it, and they can help to fix it. That whole stigma must be removed. How they do it is up to them.
Mr. Taylor is accused of being at the center of West Africa's arms, diamond, and timber smuggling, and insurgencies in Sierra Leone, Western Ivory Coast, and Guinea, since he launched his own rebellion in Liberia in 1989. He denies the charges, saying they are part of a U.S.-led plot to remove him from power. Mr. Taylor also accuses the United States of funding Liberian rebels through its support of Guinea's military. He has called the rebels a nuisance, comparable to flies that can be swatted away. The rebels now control most of Liberia, but have been repeatedly unable to enter Monrovia. A U.S.-based spokesman for the Liberian rebels, Bodio Siapo, accuses Mr. Taylor of being a failed leader since he won elections in 1997.
All the promises that he made during the political season, he has failed to deliver the political beacons that he and his NPP administration promised the Liberian people. As we speak, there is no electricity in the country. There is no safe drinking water. I mean, how can you call yourself a leader of a nation and you care less for the basic necessities of life?
Stephen Ellis, a historian who wrote a book about Mr. Taylor's rise to power, The Mask of Anarchy, says he is much more gangster than politician.
He's really in a rather unusual category, and I think even in West Africa, in a category of his own. He's not necessarily the most brutal leader that West Africa has ever seen, although I suppose he might be coming into that category. But he's not really a politician. He's much more comparable to somebody like a mafia boss, a kind of traditional gangster type, a kind of Al Capone. He's a very intelligent man, but in the end, he's not really interested in political types of deal. He's interested in money and power and in obtaining it through fairly classic gangster-like methods.
Anthony Neranto, a Liberian refugee in Ivory Coast, blames Mr. Taylor for all his misery.
Don't like Taylor. There is Taylor that destroyed my life. Anything cannot be possible for me. Anywhere I'm going, no ways for me. So I'm begging United Nations to find a way and move Mr. Charles Taylor so our country will be free. For long, I left my education because of war. Nothing I don't do in Cote d'Ivoire. I'm just suffering.
Mr. Taylor acknowledges there is a humanitarian crisis in Liberia, but he says it is because his government has been under siege by foreign-backed rebels. He also says the false charges against him have turned all Liberians into victims of the international community. Many Liberians interviewed by journalists say they want the United States to intervene and remove Mr. Taylor by force if he refuses to leave power. Liberia was founded by freed American slaves in the 19th century. For nearly 150 years, it remained a virtual American colony. During the Cold War, Liberia was a close U.S. ally in Africa. Many Liberians say Americans should act in Liberia as the French did in Ivory Coast and the British in Sierra Leone by sending troops to help end the Civil War. Earlier this week, a U.S. amphibious assault ship carrying more than 2,000 Marines arrived off Liberia's coast, triggering hope among many Liberians of a possible U.S. intervention. But U.S. officials say the truce has eased tensions and that the ship has been ordered back to the United States. The ship was returning home from Iraq, and officials say they didn't want to keep the members of the crew waiting off Liberia's coast for too long. Nico Colombin, VOA News, Abidjan.